Welcome to Wednesday at 9 p.m. Season 2, Episode 3. Coming up on tonight's show, we look into the prolific black-eyed kids phenomenon, learning that saying no is okay, and the hidden fruit combo. My name is Nick, and joining me are Aaron and Frank.
That's wonderful. I was going to say, I have my lights off, expecting a spooky, scary episode, but got me laughing from the hook.
Yeah, I always try to make the hook, like, only adjacently relevant.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm hooked.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We'll get into some shout-outs before we get into some of these stories. Of course, shout-out to my mom, who I think has listened to every episode still.
Wow.
So, carrying the podcast here, you guys?
I got a lot, so... Okay.
Everyone grab some popcorn.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit. I'd like to thank the Academy. No, I'm kidding. I'd like to, first of all, shout out to Nick. Thanks for taking this episode. I was not prepared. I've been out in the field doing research.
Yes.
And getting potential future episodes with interviews of psychic mediums and people that have been paranormal investigating for 20 years. So I'm trying to lay the groundwork here.
I guess that's fine if we can't get psychic larges. So
yeah. So first of all, shout out to Nick. Shout out to the Dr. Best Museum and everyone who was there at the paranormal investigations. Shout out to my doctor, Dr. Ford, if you're listening.
Not
I'm
Dr.
Sorry.
Best.
Correct. Not Dr. Best. Dr. Ford, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Please keep me as a patient. Shout out to Troy from Nick.
Yes.
And lastly, but certainly not leastly, a shout out to my fiance Fallon, who is standing over there making sure I give her a shout out.
My one only shout out goes to the legendary David Hoy. We miss you.
I have him in my LinkedIn network. I could reach out.
Me too.
Me too. And I think Fallon does as well.
That's nice. Great. If you ever want to tell a story, David Hoy, let us know. He expressed interest in that once.
That's when we were more consistent.
Yes, it was.
Also, just so everyone's aware here, we had to take another brief hiatus. There were some complications with scheduling. So... you know, we have busy lives. We don't do this 24/7 like, you know,
if only
other regular podcasts do. So we have these
sponsor books. Us and maybe we can be more consistent.
Yeah, sponsor us and we will. So be Lifewater if you're listening.
Yes.
But without further ado, we're tonight going to talk about black-eyed kids, something that I think all three of us are familiar with to some extent. Whether it's through our own, not experience, but our own research into it or hearing stories of it or listening to each other tell stories of stories they heard. We have a lot of, I feel like this has been a topic we've talked about a lot. So I'm glad we're going to do an episode on it.
Yeah, I feel like we've mentioned it a whole lot, but it's good to finally have an episode.
Yep. So. Not a lot in terms of the history here. I do have the what is renowned as the like the epicenter, the first patient zero of this phenomenon. So that will be our first story, and that's kind of how this episode's going to be. It's going to be more just focused on stories, not so much the theories. We'll get into what some authors have said as theories. I don't really want to get into the weeds on that. You can
probably just put this out of the way. Cow on a ladder, 90% of the cases.
It probably is. I'd say at least in one it was a cow on a ladder.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, we'll do some more historical episodes, we'll go into the history. Not this one. This one's just stories, stories, stories. And we'll have links to where you can get these stories or the book titles and their Amazon pages if you are interested in buying the books, Kindle or otherwise. But let's get into the first story, the one that started it all. We are in Abilene, Texas in 1996. It's the story of Brian Bethel, who is a journalist for a local news outlet. And he was sitting outside his outside a local cable company in his car. He was writing a check for the overnight drop box. So, I mean, checks, writing checks, that's lame. Who does that
what
anymore?
The heck is this? 1996?
Yeah, I can certainly tell 1996.
Yeah. And it's even funnier. There's a theater marquee. I think that's how you pronounce it. And that's his light that he's using. He doesn't have like a phone flashlight or anything.
It's like a movie scene. Very cinematic.
Yeah, it is very cinematic. Yeah. And so while he's doing this, he hears a knock on the window of his car. And he sees two young boys, he estimates between 9 and 12, standing outside with hoodies on. And he rolled down the window, expecting they were going to like ask for money or something. When all of a sudden he gets a quote, incomprehensible, soul-racking fear.
Ooh.
I like soul-racking. That's a good like hyphen combo.
Yeah.
He says that one of the boys was olive-skinned, so classic olive complexion, if you know anything about the Men in Black, but I digress. Yeah, he started to talk to Brian. The other boy with him was like a pale redhead kid, and he kind of was staying in the background. So not your typical like black-eyed kid description. We'll get into that with more stories, but there was another redhead boy who was very pale in the back. And this olive-skinned boy said that he wanted to see Mortal Kombat at the theater, but he didn't have any money to see it, so he asked Brian for a ride home. And Brian's thinking, the movie already started, and if he did drive them home, a lot of the movie would have been over by the time they got back, so he thought that was kind of weird. But the boy kept trying to persuade Brian, saying, you know, they were just kids. They didn't have a gun or anything. So like,
what?
Why would you say that? It's a weird thing to say.
You can trust me. I'm not going to hurt you. I promise.
Yeah, I don't have a gun. What are you thinking? So Brian actually notices his hand is now on the door lock. Like he didn't even realize that it got there. But when he did, he pulled it away and looked back at the boys because he like stared at his hand when he did so. And in those few seconds that he noticed his hand getting towards the door lock and then pulling it away, both the boys were staring at him with dark obsidian eyes. Panic started sinking in, but Brian did not want to show that emotion. So he apologized and said he couldn't help them, and he began to go in reverse and roll up the window. And the redheaded boy looked kind of confused that this was happening, but the olive-skinned boy slammed on the window as it was rolling up, saying, quote, "We can't come in unless you tell us it's okay. Let us in." Brian drove out of there as fast as he could, and he glanced quickly into the rearview mirror, and the boys were nowhere to be seen. And so that's the first story of the black-eyed kids, at least in the urban legend of them. He shared this experience with some friends in 1998 over like an email group or something, and it spread from there, sparking the black-eyed kid phenomenon we know today. And even as of 2013, which I mean, it dated for now, but sometime after 1996, Brian still claims he does not know what he saw. He has no explanation for it.
It's a good story to start the legend. I mean, there's so much to unpack here. Should we?
Yeah. So let me just start with saying I didn't really explain what the Black Eyed Kids were at the start. I wanted this story to kind of explain it. So essentially, the Black Eyed Kid phenomenon is there will be children, usually like young kids, 8 to 12, sometimes teenagers, and they will knock on your door, come up to you, and ask you to help them. And they'll always say, can you let us in? We need help. Or it's like, we need to use your phone to call our mom, let us in. But there, it's always weird. Like, people always get this feeling of dread.
Something's off.
Yeah, something's off. And then eventually the kids will look at the individual and they'll have just completely black eyes. There's no white. There is no iris. It's all black. And eventually they'll snap. The person will snap out of whatever's happening and either shut the door on the kids or say that they can't help them. And everything's fine after that. But that's the general gist of the phenomenon.
1996 is a lot later than I thought for the start of all this.
Really?
Yeah. I thought this was like a century long kind of thing.
No, this is a pretty recent, like, urban legend sort of thing.
Well, I did not know that. Second of all, just as an overall question, is mind control like a thing that Black Eyed Kids do?
It's hinted at the person having the encounter kind of unconsciously like lets them in or tries to let them in. There is the implication that there is some mental influence being done.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was interesting. I didn't actually know that.
And it comes up in other stories too. So
I think it'd be great to talk through each of like the, not the tropes, but the Black Eyed Kids calling cards in the story, you know? So starting with showing up out of nowhere at night.
Yep.
Their age, being young, the random feeling of fear that comes up out of nowhere. I feel like that's related to the Oz effect, the idea where people have paranormal experiences and everything suddenly gets quiet around them and I feel like it's obviously a different phenomenon, but I feel like it's related. You know, yeah. There's stories where people go into some place and like they pass a barrier and all of a sudden they're like, they just feel this unnatural fear. In this case too, it's like completely unnatural, uncalled for fear. So there's something about paranormal phenomena where it can just induce like pant crapping fear, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I just want to say one. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I agree.
I'm sure we'll talk more about like what these are as we talk to more of the stories.
Yeah. I have listed out the theories that some of the authors put out. I just don't go into details of them because this would have been a very long episode if we did.
Sure. And I just want to point out one thing. I don't understand why there's so many different phenomena. Sometimes it's like people who claim to experience aliens, but like humanoid aliens or whatever, but they understand human culture to an extent, but only like 80% of the way there.
It's like Men in Black kind of.
Yeah, it's very, that's what I'm thinking of. It's very similar to Men in Black where they're like, they know how to wear clothes and how to talk, but they're wearing the wrong clothes. And this, it's like, they know how to like, I don't know, they know how a car works, like the car door lock, and they know like Mortal Kombat is in theaters, but like they don't understand like timing and how that argument doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most interesting aspects of these stories and Men in Black stories.
Yeah.
Is it a lack of understanding or are they just stupid?
It could
That's
be
a
both.
Good question.
It could be both.
Humans obviously have a different level of like intellect. Like,
that's true.
If you were trying to mug somebody and you needed to get into their car, I could see somebody trying to piece this together and then getting caught in their lie. So, like, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility to say, like,
that's a good
these
point.
Black-eyed kids didn't understand. I think, you know, they could have just made a mistake or not be the wisest. So
that's a very good point.
They are kids.
Yeah. Are they? What Maybe. Are they? I don't know. But yeah.
Cows on ladders.
So now that we kind of got the base of where, of how this all started, we'll get into now a book titled Black-Eyed Children, revised second edition. So this is obviously not the first version of it. And sorry, I forgot to write the author down. So let me get that for you, us, real quick.
That's right. While you're looking that up, I also wanted to point out another calling card that we didn't get to is that they need to be invited in.
Yes.
Kind of like vampires.
Yeah.
That is a big, big one.
Yeah. I just wanted to touch on that in case future stories depended on that. So.
And it does. So that's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Some have black eyes.
True.
So, yeah, we'll get into the book Black-Eyed Children, revised second edition, by David Weatherly. And also Nick Redfern.
Oh, okay.
Nick Redfern wrote the foreword for this. Nick Redfern's a popular paranormal researcher.
Hope he had an editor. Right? Didn't you say he doesn't write too well?
There are some grammatical errors in some of the stuff he writes for some other people that I found. But also, I'm not going to hold that against him. I still like what he does.
Of course.
But anyway, so David Weatherly in this book goes over lots of theories. So I encourage you to buy the book if you're interested. And some of the theories include black-eyed kids being hybrids, like alien-human hybrids.
Oh.
The hungry ghosts, like from the hungry ghost phenomenon. Which, Frank, if you want to add some details for that, feel free.
If I had to summarize the hungry ghost phenomenon, I would say trickster type low level entities that communicate with people and really just want to mess with you and lead you astray or drain your energy, pretend to be something that they're not.
Yeah, that sums it up pretty well. They come up a lot with like Ouija as well.
Mediums and
seances, yeah. Things like that.
Through mediums and channeling.
Yes. Demons is another popular theory I think we all probably have heard because black eyes
feels demonic a little bit.
Yep. So demons, very classic. Vampires, that was an interesting one. We did a vampire episode already.
They do follow the same principle of they need to be invited in.
Very true.
Just saying.
Very true. He also floats them being ghosts of children, which is interesting.
Like Five Nights at Freddy's?
What? Is that what they are?
Sorry, spoilers. I mean, there's an 8-hour-long lore video on YouTube.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, the animatronics are basically possessed by the ghosts of kids.
Oh, so yes, it's Five Nights at Freddy's.
Didn't you see the movie?
No.
No, I didn't actually.
What?
He also says that separate from hungry ghosts, specifically trickster entities. And that's where we're going to get into our second story. So this is an experience from a government employee in London, and it's related to them. It's like evidence for them being trickster entities. So this government employee, he is headed home from work in the evening, and he lived on the second floor of an apartment building that had a keyed entry in the front. So you had to key in to even get into the building. Like you had to live there, basically. And it automatically locks when you close it. So it like deadbolts when it shuts. And essentially, as soon as he gets home and puts his items down, there is a loud pounding outside his door, not on his door, outside his door.
What?
So, expecting a knock, he waited for a second, and when nothing came, he got himself a drink and was about to sit down when there was another pounding noise outside. Again, not on the door, but just outside the door. Curious, he opened the door to see two boys aged 10 to 12. Their clothing looked old and antiquated, he said, but not dirty. Just old and antiquated.
Like out of fashion.
Yes.
Hey, there you go.
Yep. Very Men in Black-esque, wearing the wrong period clothing. I'm not saying that they wore like, you know, 1800s clothing, but
yeah,
just
yeah,
not for the time. And they were standing side by side with their heads tilted down, looking at the floor. And he looked around the hallway to see if there were any adults around, and the hallway was empty. It was just him and the two boys. So he looked back at the kids, and then he found that they were now staring up at him. And one says to him that they are here for a visit and want to watch the telly. We're in England. Although pretty uncomfortable at this point, he assumed they were lost and just have like the wrong place. That same boy then says that they will come in anyway and that he should ask them in. The boys then looked up a little more, and our protagonist here was shocked to see that their eyes were completely black. He looked down the hall again to look away, but then looked back at the boys a bit closer. They had pale skin, almost pasty, and unnatural with a weird texture. Again, the boy asked to watch some telly. And he said it sounded like a really bad British accent. So he's like, "Oi, bro, I want to watch the telly."
Ooh.
It's a bit rude, ain't it?
Yeah, so he said it sounded kind of bad. But he felt compelled to listen to the boys and almost wanted to let them inside. The boy kept repeating himself, and he began slowly opening the door a little more. The government worker. But the thought of what would happen raced through his mind. He turned to look into his apartment. For what? He wasn't really sure. Was he looking for a weapon? Was he wanting to run inside and see how quickly he could close the door? Who knows? But when he turned back, there were three boys standing there. The third looked exactly like the other two. And the same boy that had been talking said a bit louder, "Just invite us in, mate." In that similarly poor British accent. But the tone that the boy used was jarring enough that he stepped back, slammed his door in their face, and bolted it shut. Good on him.
Yeah, good call.
And he said he started feeling as if he was like drunk after he shut the door. And he phoned his neighbor down the hall to have him come out. But as soon as he began dialing, he heard those pounding sounds again. He put the phone down, waited a few minutes, cracked the door open to peer out in the hall, and it was empty. Checked the stairwell, empty. Looked out into the street, there were no children that he could see.
Ramping up the spookiness with this one, I think. Yeah. Can I just say, Aaron and I were hitting, we're like predicting all the marks. I feel like we're doing a good job of hitting all the marks.
That's why I said, like, we know this one. We know this pretty well, I think. So
yeah, but it's always a fun one to talk about.
True.
Like, imagine you're in this situation.
Shut the door.
Would you let the kids in?
Always. What would you do, Aaron?
This is a PSA. Shut the door. Don't feel bad.
I'm a Gen Z, so my social anxiety would be to not open the door and even check.
Talk to the Ring doorbell.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Imagine if a Gen Alpha kid opened the door.
No.
It's just be like drilling and
on the iPad and covered in peanut butter.
I understand why the Black Eyed Kids are dumb. They're Gen Alpha.
Oh, no.
They're iPad Black Eyed Kids. They're probably watching Skibbity Toilet right before they're in the stairwell.
You know what? I think you're
Where are the stories where they open the door and they go, Ohio Skibbity Toilet Riz? Baby Gronk?
Get out of here.
Their eyes are empty. That makes actually total sense.
Yeah, they're not black. They're just glossed over so badly.
Yeah, they're just gone. They're just gone.
Can you imagine, like, black-eyed kids phenomenon? Like, so it happens to someone, and these black-eyed kids pretend to be Gen Alpha and start using the slang.
Oh, use it wrong?
Just butchering it so poorly.
That's going to happen, right? I mean,
it might.
Isn't that what's happening here? Like, oh, can we use the telly? Well, that's slang.
I'm
at the
not
time.
So sure, yeah. Nick. I don't know what this primary source of yours is, but, or I guess secondary source technically, but it may be England because you said phoned.
Yeah, and this is in London. Usually... He's in London.
Okay.
I said that. Unless I forgot.
Oh,
to.
I did not. I didn't hear that, but also am half a moonshine in, so.
You say they phoned? Is that slang? Is that
That's not really something Americans say. Yeah, say it's call. More of like a call. I mean, unless it's
British
on that,
people.
Unless it's on the game show where you phone a friend. But
true.
That's a good point.
I don't. It's not something Americans usually say. I feel like it's something that Europeans would more normally say.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think he put this more in the trickster category than the Hungry Ghost, because there were two and then there were three. What? How?
So do we think there's any possibility that this story, the other ones are not supernatural, but are
just
natural?
Kids?
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some kids that do just pull pranks. That is almost certainly true.
I mean, we should probably just, you know, state that that is obviously a possibility and be like, this one probably doesn't make sense.
And unless it's three kids who live in that apartment building who were already in there, and the pounding was them just going into their mom's apartment or something.
It's like stomping. They also are wearing black
contacts,
which
apparently are quite expensive. David Weatherly looked found the car. They're over $100.
Oh, really?
They're over $100. Probably
his
for good
due diligence.
Probably for good ones. That is. But
can you just use a Sharpie?
Yeah, I think that's just tattoo your eyes. Should be fine.
So I think I have a point that will disprove that this was just some punk kids.
Yeah.
They asked for permission.
True.
They
asked for permission. If these were just kids messing around and being dumb, they wouldn't ask. They would just barge in.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Like, I can't foresee these kids causing a bunch of ruckus outside and then being like, excuse me, sir, could we please be let in?
Watch like some telly.
Watch some telly with the boys. Yeah, I don't buy it.
I have a question for you guys. The black eyed part, I always understood it as their eyes are always all black, but they just don't realize it. Like the person they're having the experience doesn't pick up on it until like they snap out of the, I don't know, the influence.
Stupor?
That's a good word, the stupor. Is that how you interpret these stories? Or do you feel like all of a sudden the eyes become black?
So, fun fact, actually, it's not in this episode, but in one of the books, because there were two that I looked at, there was a story of a mom who saw a black-eyed kid in her car.
In because, her car?
Yeah, because her son in the back let him in.
No!
The son didn't see him having black eyes. So...
No way. So you're saying he didn't see it and she did at the same time?
Well, he didn't see it. He let the kid in. And then when the mom, it was at like a gas station. When the mom got back and got in the car, she saw the boy in the back.
How could you not include that story?
because it would, that would, we would have talked about that for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, right.
So I, you know, tried to be a little whatever, but
well, that's interesting. That's crazy.
So, well, it would depend, I guess.
Maybe to their eyes only turn black when they're trying to use their like mind control persuasion riz, as the Jedi Force put it. And maybe like when they're using their powers, that's when like their black eyes take effect. But who's to say?
I don't know. I don't know the anatomy or the defense mechanisms or the offense mechanisms of blackhead kids.
Well, it sounds like they're not really like corporeal, where like you could just capture one and be like, all right, let's
see. Yeah, what if you don't let them in, but you kidnap them?
What?
I mean,
you
Nick,
bring
we
them
haven't
in
touched
against
yeah.
their will?
Yeah. because we're here, we're made in God's image.
Yeah, wait, do we? Well, obviously they don't have the permission to cross our boundaries, so can we drag them across our boundaries? That's a good question.
I don't know.
Are they that's so interesting.
So Nick, you haven't touched on this yet, so I don't want to spoil it, but I'm thinking, given their abilities, that you probably wouldn't want to even try it.
Oh yeah, we're not getting into the teenager running at 55 miles an hour chasing someone in a car.
Okay.
We don't have any of those.
I wasn't sure if like super strength,
honorable
and
mention?
Super speed.
Honorable mention real quick, there was a story that Frank and I heard a while ago that we
it's my favorite one of all time.
Everyone that we could. It was a black-eyed teen story. They were teens.
Yeah.
Not kids really, and they some guy,
I don't remember the details. Yeah.
Some guy was driving down a country road, saw these kids and was like, what's going on? And they, you know, wanted to get let in, classic. Wanting to get them in.
Getting aggressive, right?
Getting aggressive. The one kid lifted the car by himself. And then the driver sped away and then saw, was it running behind him or running next to him? I think it was running next to him.
He sped away. He was going like 50 or 60 at least. And he turns and he sees one of
the
kids. The
kid running with him.
Like easily like keeping pace with
the
car.
That's
the
craziest one. That's the craziest one I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I forget how it ends. So probably dies.
No, you
didn't let him in. My point is, I don't think even if you could kidnap one of these kids, I don't think it would be in your best interest.
No, that was just I wouldn't do that. It was just like a funny suggestion. Like, what if?
Sure. Anyone's out there, the experience of black-eyed kid, take one for the team.
Take one for the team.
Grab him by the neck, grab him by the ear, yank him in, then submit at Wednesday9pm.com/29. It's been some feedback. Let us know how it went.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, we asked that you make sure it is a black-eyed kid before you grab them by the neck.
Yes.
And not just some ne'er-do-well.
And not a... No, I'm not going to say. I was going to say, and not a black kid.
Okay.
I'm going to cut that. We're cutting that. Yeah, we're cutting that.
Anywho.
Jeez.
So, David Weatherly gives a couple other theories. He floats gin, which I was like, that's interesting. That is a whole nother episode. I think that's who's the gin? Rosemary Ellen Guiley?
I think so.
She does that very well, but we won't get into that. And then the last one here is dark thoughts, or like tulpas almost, but like of negative thoughts kind of forming into this.
Of the experiencer or unrelated to the experiencer?
Yeah, I think of the, again, I just wanted to kind of list
that's
these
interesting,
out,
yeah.
But it seemed like it was the experiencer, like negative thoughts, and then
I think you're victim blaming, but
my bad.
That's interesting, yeah.
It's funny because the other author also talks about them being thought forms, but we'll get into that in a bit because I got one more story from Mr. David Weatherly. This I just thought was a cool one because it involved a deputy. So this is like a law enforcement official. I want you to think back to the good old days, 2003.
Ah, yes. 3 years old.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah.
The deputy receives a domestic disturbance call.
Oh, yeah.
Sometime after 2 in the morning. The argument ended up quieting down, and the parties were talked to by the deputy, and no arrests were made. So, luckily, no, like, huge
That's
issues.
Good.
No issues with that, which is a good thing. But while finishing some paperwork in the car, the deputy looked up and saw some people standing on a porch of a house that was a few houses down from where the domestic disturbance call was. He could see they were young because the porch light was on, and as he approached the house, he saw that they were just kids. And he was concerned that they were out so late. Remember, this is after 2 in the morning. And so he spoke to them, but neither responded. He asked if they were all right and if the noise woke them up. He actually started approaching them on the porch. It's kind of like more a deck than a porch, but I'm just going to go with porch. And as he gets closer, he describes them as very pale and wearing old clothing that could have been handmade.
Oh.
He estimated them to be about between 8 and 10, and the boy seemed to be older than the girl. Sorry, I should mention there was a girl and a boy. They remained silent still, just standing in the middle of the porch. And he bent down on one knee to kind of like get eye level with them and asked if they were all right. And the boy replied, quote, "We want to go inside." The deputy noticed some kind of accent, but wasn't really sure what kind of accent. And as the boy said this, he looked directly at the deputy, and the deputy saw that his eyes were black.
Oh.
He asked another question, and the boy responded that they would not be let inside. So they really want to go in, obviously. Sensing something was really off about the whole situation, the deputy opened the screen door and knocked, saying he was a police officer. No lights were on in the house. Big shocker. It's 2 in the morning. And the kids were still standing on the porch looking at the deputy. He kept knocking on the door, calling for someone to open up, and he glanced back towards the kids, and they were gone. According to him, the porch was not that large, and he was blocking the steps, so they couldn't have moved past him. He suggests that they could have climbed the railing and jumped down into the yard. After searching there with his flashlight, he saw nothing, and there weren't any trees or anything that they could have hid behind either. The front door finally opened and an elderly woman emerged. She clearly was awoken by the banging on the door and calling out for someone to open. And he questioned her about the kids. And she said that she lived alone. She didn't have any small children. She didn't have any grandchildren either. The description the deputy gave of the kids didn't match any of the ones in the neighborhood, according to this woman. And the deputy says that he would go back to that neighborhood on occasion to try to figure out what happened, but he never saw those kids again.
Wow. And I feel like jumping off a porch would make a lot of noise.
Also true.
Just saying.
There'd be like, some thud.
Even if you jump onto grass, it would make like a thud and then you running away.
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like at some point you would hear them, unless they're ninjas.
We never mentioned the two things in the previous story that are echoed here. The like ashy, was the previous story also ashy skin?
Pale, very pale.
Very pale. Or pasty, sorry, not ashy.
Yeah, pasty.
And the clothes, the weird out-of-date clothing. And this time saying it could have been handmade.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
That's a good question.
What's up with that? Again, it's like, they kind of understand what they should look and how they should act.
But not quite.
But not quite.
They're
I have a theory. I don't know about this. I know, Aaron, you said maybe they're just stupid. Mm-hmm. And that's very possible. But what if they're not allowed?
What do you mean not allowed?
What if they're not allowed to be perfectly deceitful? Like perfectly convincing, convincingly deceitful.
Who's not allowing?
Well, if they're not allowed to come in or cross thresholds that they aren't invited to, why don't they? Maybe there's other, like, that's obviously a rule they are forced to abide by. Or if there's also, like, in the system that they exist in, they're also, they're not allowed to be perfectly right.
I mean, yes and no, because they still do have full black eyes. It's not like they're perfect.
Yeah, like, they're not allowed to be perfectly convincingly, you know, perfectly convincing. Like, they have to have something. Obviously, like, it seems like they try to hide that their eyes are full black, but at least in these experiences, right, it slips.
Do they, though? Do they try and hide it?
I would think so.
They look right at everyone. In all these stories, they stare right at the person.
That's true. They're not, like, actively hiding their
eyes. They're not, like, looking down at the ground, being like,
You think they're aware that people can see that their eyes are black?
I have no idea. See, I was thinking almost that maybe, like, in studying human culture, trying to come up with this plot, whether it's a trickster or a devil or a demon or, like, whatever it may be, maybe their research is just out of date. Like, they looked up, like, okay, what do humans really like?
Circa 2000 BC.
Not that far back, but like
pretty stones.
You know, you go back a decade or something, or you go to, like, in this case, if the clothes are handmade, you go to, like, a poorer part of town where the clothes are handmade, or more rural.
Or where? Part of town. Where?
And then, what do you mean where?
Where are clothes handmade?
The Amish. Oh my God! The black-eyed kids are just Amish kids.
That's why they're weird. Wow.
Aaron, thoughts?
Disagree, because the Amish make great donuts.
They make a lot of good things.
Yeah, and they make great sheds.
True.
Really?
Yeah. We have.
Do you live near Amish?
Amish
because you're near the Pennsylvania border.
I mean, not super near, but there's an Amish market that they make donuts, and those things are really good. Like, Dunkin' Donuts gets blown out of the water.
Do you think the Amish black-eyed kids are in these areas because they've been moved out? Because they're kind of refugees from the Amish Bigfoot War?
Probably.
Could be. They've been displaced. Or they're on their Rumspringer or whatever that's called.
Yep.
Where they have a year to try and get someone else to adopt them. Otherwise, they have to stay Amish.
That's why they asked to enter with.
And because they're raised Amish, they have to be polite.
Oh my God, so we figured it out. Great job, guys.
Yeah.
It's all clicking. It's all clicking.
Very good.
But yeah, circling back, maybe they're just out of date on their research.
Perhaps.
Like, if you were trying to assimilate and gain the trust of someone else, you know, you go deep undercover and then you come up with a plan. But, like, what if that plan takes a while?
That's true.
And things change.
So what do you I know what you mean, but, like, isn't that just too weird? Isn't that too,
the whole thing's a little too weird.
I don't think any one explanation will fit every encounter is the problem.
I mean, I personally think it's devils trying to trick, because devils often abide by strict laws and rules of, like, you know, like, while they can deceive people, they can't break contracts and stuff like that. So that's what I've always thought of black-eyed kids, is they're like a devil creature where, you know, they're not allowed in places and, you know, they can disguise themselves pretty well, but not going to be perfect. But that's my philosophy. Doesn't mean that it's true or accurate.
What do you make of them being pasty? Often, not always, but commonly.
I don't know. Devils take on many different forms because
need more vitamin
D. Like you said, they're not always pasty.
I guess these ones where they only show up at night. That explains why they're so pale.
There was the olive skinned one.
Yeah.
That also comes up a lot with men in black.
Yeah.
Olive skinned. Also like Asiatic features sometimes. Oriental features. That wasn't mentioned here yet, so I don't know about.
No, that's never mentioned. That I could find.
Asian black eyed Amish kids.
Now that.
With the Ohio.
Riz.
Baby Gronk Riz.
All right.
All right, Nick, get us back on track.
I'm going to get us back to Danger at Your Door, Encounters with Black Eyed Kids by, I'm assuming her name is Gemma Jade. It's G-E-M-M-A.
Yeah, that's Gemma.
Gemma Jade.
Interesting name.
Yes. So she also
is a black eyed kid.
No, she has a handful of theories. Hybrids are among them, as well as demons and thought forms like we talked about, but also interdimensional beings, which is a more broad scope. So they could be Bigfoot on a ladder because Bigfoot's interdimensional.
That's true.
So
why on a ladder though? They're kids.
It
should be Bigfoot crouching down.
Oh, good.
Bigfoot
in a trench coat.
Crouching down. All right.
Perfect. But she has some good encounters. This one's really creepy. It happened in the woods.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she also talks about white-eyed kids.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't get into
the good ones.
I don't think they are. Funny enough. But she also talks about like black-eyed adults. Her book is also quite interesting. It will be linked at the Amazon link if any of you are interested. But this particular story is of a woman in the early 2000s who is going to a campground at the end of August in Maine. She sat at a lake for lunch and then went to the ranger station to like pay and check in to get a backcountry pass. So if you're going like out in the middle of the woods, like camping in the middle of nowhere, really, you need a specific pass to go back there and camp. That way you're not fined for trespassing or anything, and the rangers know you're out there. So she'd be out there for a week-long camping trip. And as she's walking back to her car from the station, she sees two kids sitting in front of her car on a bench. One looked about 8 and the other was 10 or 11. And she assumed they were here with their family. Typical, like, oh, we're taking the kids to go camping. Fast forward some time, and she finds a place to set up her campsite and build a fire. She was sitting in her chair next to the fire after she just ate dinner, just staring up at the stars. And seemingly, she actually fell asleep alone in the woods.
Bad idea.
And I want you to picture this. You're at a fire, you're in a chair, you're reclined back, and you fell asleep looking at the stars.
That's the life.
But now you bolt up, unsure why you awoke so suddenly. And when you open your eyes, there are the kids that were sitting on the bench staring down at you. that's terrifying.
I'd be creeped out even if it was like regular kids.
True.
Yeah,
don't wake
I would
me
be
up.
Too.
True.
So she leaps from her chair, screaming, and turns to face the children. And that is when she says that they have completely black eyes. She tried rationalizing why they were out there, but the older kid said, "Relax, lady. We're just a couple of harmless kids. We need your help." What are they, quest givers? What is this?
That's bizarre.
Relax. And he continued saying they were lost and needed to call their mother. But when she asked where their mom was, the boy replied she was at home. She's thinking, that's really weird that an adult would let their kids get this far out into the woods. And recognizing the weirdness of this, she said she could not help them because her phone was in the car and she couldn't get service anyway because, you know, she's out in the middle of nowhere. The boy said that she wasn't going to leave them alone here and that they weren't going to leave either. He insisted they were going to walk back to her car together and she would drive them home. She bluntly refused and the older boy gave a grin. However, the younger one seemed kind of jittery during all of this. The kids turned and looked at each other for apparently 2 minutes straight, just staring at each other.
What was she doing?
I don't know.
I would have booked it,
but
and I would have been out of there.
And after that 2 minutes passed, the older one pleaded for help once again. The younger boy started fake crying.
That's gross.
And understanding that they were attempting to like persuade her into helping them, she yelled at them to leave. The older boy said again that they weren't leaving and she was, quote, going to be a good human and help them. She booked it out of the woods, screaming for help, running. Like, she didn't have her car. She was just running through the woods, pitch black, nighttime.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. She hurt her ankle.
Yeah.
And couldn't move like anymore. She like probably sprained her ankle. And she just sat there alone at night in the woods. Those kids are the least of your worries. You know, there could be, you know, bears or other like wooden predators in the forest. Oh, that would be scary too.
True.
But she eventually heard a noise. And thinking it was the boys again, she was relieved to see that it was just a ranger. And she pleaded her case to the ranger. He didn't really believe her. Finally, she gets back to her campsite, barely falls asleep, gets back home. But she never saw the kids again. They weren't at the campsite when she got back. And
I'm sorry. I would have gone home.
Well,
I would have canceled camping and gone home.
Her reasoning was, if I recall correctly, she didn't want to leave all her stuff in the woods and have to go back and get it. So she wanted to go back, at least get all of her stuff again, put it all in her car, and then leave.
I mean, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. But like to spend the night there?
Yeah, I think she had like a flashlight on the whole night or something. But yeah.
What's up with the dialogue in this one?
I know. Be a good human. What the heck? That's.
We're just a couple of harmless kids.
But you have to say, we're just a couple of harmless kids.
Yeah. Relax, lady.
We need your help.
Right?
So obviously we don't know how it was said. It could have been weirdly robotic. It could have been really menacing. Who knows?
This one evokes more so the, I'm hesitant to even say this, but maybe we should touch on it. The alien hybrid.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Seeing that it's on the riskier side and a little more disturbing in ways I don't want to talk about, I think we should just leave it. And if people want to look into that kind of stuff, they can.
Don't encourage it.
I don't want to ever do an episode on it.
I agree. Let's not do an episode
on it. It's just, yeah. But the whole thing in the woods, because this most happens in like an urban setting. Black-eyed kids most often appear, or like when someone experiences it, it's like in a city or something. Not so much in the woods.
Like right outside a building or like outside a door of some kind.
In some civilization of some kind.
Yeah, well, even if it's just a car door.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't even near her car. Nope. These kids, if they are some trickster spirit, picked, like, the worst time to be like, hey, Can we get a ride? Yeah,
no, like, one's going to say yes.
Yeah, like you've cornered her in the middle of the woods at night.
At night.
Why would she say yes?
Yeah.
Because they're stupid. That's why.
Maybe you're onto something, Aaron.
You think there's... I feel like there's something more negative or insidious than them being stupid.
I mean,
I don't know.
Calling her a good human, that doesn't even have to be the alien thing. That could be like a demon thing.
Yeah, that's obviously, like, it feels just unnatural. Unhuman, there. Obviously.
Well, yes, of
referring
course.
To someone else as a human.
That's why we're part of the, what is it?
Anti-alien, the Alien Hate League or something.
Something like that.
Well, counterpoint, Mark Zuckerberg.
Good point.
That's a good counterpoint.
Could he be a black-eyed human? No, we just haven't really...
Maybe he's a black-eyed robot.
Damn.
Anyway.
He's an AI.
Yeah, Apple intelligence. So I think that's the creepiest story out of all these because it's in the woods. Like, there's no one else around.
Terrified. Yeah.
I will also say Gemma Jade had some stories of black-eyed kid encounters on Halloween. And I was just like, oh yeah.
Classic.
But then,
I want that to happen to me.
But then the problem was, it was classic. It's exactly how you thought it would play out. And it's just like, that's not.
Oh, really? It's not very believable.
Not believable. It's classic. Everyone, like, it's in a town where people love Halloween. It's even if you get a late knock, it's not that weird. They get a knock on the door. It's kids, overwhelming sense of fear. They want to come in. They say no. Spooky Halloween. I was like, okay, whatever. I want to talk about this lady in the woods.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Brought to you by Hallmark.
It's right. Not saying that, like, not to discount those experiences at all, but it was as typical as you could get.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to. I feel like besides the.
These are more interesting stories, more stand out.
Yeah, like we got the original one, the multiplying one, one with law enforcement, one in the woods. Like they felt more interesting than what the typical encounter is.
Sure, sure. Yeah, good call, I think. I think this one seems most reasonable for the fact that she was terrified. I think the other ones, they're not... I don't know how I would react if I looked at a kid and I looked back and I looked back at them and they had full black eyes.
Punch them.
I feel like
I'd probably be like, oh, are you okay? Did you hurt yourself?
Yeah, right.
I feel like initial instinct would not be, oh, this is
weird.
A messed up being.
Unless you got the overwhelming, inexplicable feeling of fear and dread that always happens.
True.
Or if you're one of our five listeners.
True. I feel like it's also some sort of like paranormal apathy, which comes up a lot.
Like feeling bad.
Experiences. Like,
apathy, not empathy.
Yeah. Not reacting normally. Like people who see UFOs, very often they see something bizarre in the sky. And instead of being like, oh my God, what am I seeing? You know,
they're just like,
look at that. And then they go inside. And then later on, they're like,
what the heck was that?
Yeah, wait, what? I feel like there's some of that here in the previous stories where it's like, oh, I'm scared. That's weird. Why does it get black eyes? Instead of being like screaming and running. Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. I don't want what you're selling. I don't normally endorse punching children, but if I'm in the middle of the woods and several of them approach me, insisting aggressively that I give them a ride and they have black eyes, I'll give them a few more black eyes.
I'll show them the indomitable human spirit.
I'm going to clip Aaron saying, I don't normally endorse punching children, but that's a good soundbite. Good soundbite, yeah.
I do
for legal reasons, that is a joke.
No, I'll cut out this whole part.
Oh, no, you can keep it.
Okay, I'll keep it.
I do have one more story for us from Reddit. This
Oh,
this one,
yes.
A little bit of comedy in this one, in my opinion. This is a little funny, but also creepy at the same time. So the user, which I think I linked the Reddit in the references so people can go to this. This is from like 12 years ago. And the the post is 12 years ago. The guy says the experience happened 13 years before that. So this is like the late 90s.
Okay. Okay. It's the right time period, right?
Yeah. Just about when this was all starting. So he says that it's in like a really large city in the Southwest United States. So maybe like Phoenix or Santa Fe or something in New Mexico or Phoenix, Arizona. So one big city down there. And he hears a knock on the door at 6 in the morning, which is weird because 6 in the morning, but, you know, he's getting ready for work. So it's like, that's why he's up. He opens the door and is overtaken by fear. What a surprise. And he sees a teenager. So we're a little older here. He's a teenager in a knee-length black leather coat. With short hair and sunglasses on. It's like, okay, what is he, from the Matrix? You know? And the boy's eating an apple and asked if he could come in to warm up. The user said no. So this guy, he knows what's up. No, and closed the door.
Smart.
And then he slid the chain to lock it. And then a second later, another knock at the door happens, and before the kid even says anything, the author just says, no, I like this guy. This Reddit user, he knows what's up. And as he was trying to close the door, the boy stopped it on its hinges with his hand. So he just like put his hand out and stopped the door and asked, quote, can I at least get some ketchup for my apple?
What?
The user says, F that, and tells him that his wife is calling the police and for him to leave. The boy takes in what was said, lowers his sunglasses, revealing holy black eyes, of course, and says, quote, no, you won't be calling anybody.
What the?
The user says he then forced the door shut, locked it, and called out to his wife, who was scared and hiding in the bathroom. He opens up the curtains to look out the window that is like next to the door, and that teenage boy is gone. And the gate to their patio is still latched from the inside. Like that is still locked from the inside.
Yeah.
And as he turns to enter his house, he sees a half-eaten apple lying on the ground.
Any ketchup on it?
No ketchup. So this could be classic, you know, classic Reddit story. Doesn't have to be true. But I would say that, but like the, what's OP, original poster, is that what it means?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People commented on it and he responded like, yeah, I have no idea. Like, I still don't know what that was. He could just be playing along, but
for the karma.
Yeah, for the karma. But I thought that was a little fun one to end on rather than doing the spooky doing the spookiest one to end on. I thought we'd have some.
I think I'm convinced by one. Aaron. I think they're just stupid. Yeah,
they're just stupid.
Can I at least get some ketchup for my apple? What?
Maybe he's onto something.
I swear, like, these things, whatever they are, probably study human culture, but they still have like the intellect of a kid. So it's like sending a kid into an exam for, and like, they calculus. Just get the question wrong. No, they just get the question wrong. Like, oh, who crossed the river in 1775 or whatever?
Genghis Khan.
Like, no. Like, maybe the kid was thinking peanut butter for his apple.
He said ketchup.
Yeah, like, are you stupid?
So, that was the hidden fruit combo. Ketchup and apples.
We should try it.
If you think about it, they're both fruits, Nick.
Exactly. That's why I said it's the hidden fruit.
I try if you guys try it.
No, because then you're going to turn into a black-eyed teen.
Ah, to be young again.
to ask for ketchup on my apples.
But why is this guy cool, too?
Yeah, he got sunglasses and a...
There's the shades. He's like, I don't think so.
You're not calling anyone, yeah. buddy. I don't know who the hell you think you are.
Yeah, right?
This also,
is a great one.
This could have been like a prank and, you know, it got played up or whatever. But, yeah.
I don't know. That's a pretty elaborate prank. Like, what kid is going to be like, oh, that was so funny. I really thought that guy was going to give me ketchup. Like,
what kid also has a knee-length leather jacket?
Yeah, that was the 90s.
Some pretty weird kids.
It was the 90s. That is
cooler
true.
Than us. I just want to hear one story, though, where they see a black-eyed kid and like they look away and they look back and the kid's gone. And they look down the street and they just see like the kid like running away, like sprinting.
There might be some of those, but
like running as fast as he can just to drag it out, just drag it out of sight.
Like,
but this is a great one.
Yeah.
So those are the stories I got. I wanted to, have some mix of mostly spooky, but I think that, like I said, I think that last one really, just adds to if true, lots of different.
Big if true.
Lots of different phenomena. Like, and things happen. Asking for ketchup. You know.
Now, Nick. Yeah. In your research.
Yes.
Did you see any stories where they did let the kids in?
Besides that one where the boy let the little kid into the car? No.
What happened? Like, not to lengthen this episode, but what happened? Did they
some misfortune fell upon the family?
Oh, yep.
The League of Legends character,
yeah. Some people might like
so,
that.
Like, so like the father figure did not get to greet his wife and kid.
No,
later that day,
no one died.
Oh. Well, that's what you made it sound like.
So in that story, the mom of the kid called her husband to drive that car back and because she couldn't be in that car. So she wanted to drive her husband's car back and he would drive the SUV or whatever. He got in a car accident.
Oh,
nothing fatal, but he got in a car accident. And then the son got like inexplicably sick and the doctors didn't know what was wrong. But then one day he just felt fine. He woke up in bed saying he was hungry and wanted like a snack or something. So it did eventually go away, this whatever happened. But it seemed that after the boy let the black-eyed kid in, some misfortune fell upon them. It, again, coincidence, potentially.
Okay.
That's the only story I saw that happened.
Yeah, not to belabor the point, but where did they kick the kid out? Did the kid just stay or did he disappear?
He disappeared.
Naturally.
No matter what, the end result, the kid disappears.
She saw the kid in the back, got her son out of the car, ran into the convenience store at the gas station to like explain what was like that someone was in her car. The like cashier or owner of the gas station, whoever it was, went out and said there was no one in the car.
Crazy woman.
Yeah, that's what he thought. Like, he wanted to call the police and she was just like, no, it was just a kid. Still seeing that it had black eyes, but yeah.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is don't let the kid in.
Yes.
So from now on, lesson learned, I will not be helping any children ever.
Honestly.
Again.
Just don't let them in. I don't know if you want to give them ketchup for their apple.
Yeah, true. You could just toss them the ketchup outside. You don't have to let them in for that.
Yeah, but it's just loaded into like my Glock. Use your ketchup.
It's like, I was a real kid. Paintball gun?
Yeah, paintball. Wow.
Goes through them.
I don't even.
So
I'm left with more questions than answers, Nick. I think
that's good.
I feel like it's inextricably linked to the Men in Black phenomena.
Yep. But
beyond that, I don't know what to make of this.
It's like Men in Black, but another layer.
And stupid.
Well, Men in Black can be kind of stupid sometimes.
That's fair.
Wow.
I can't believe you would say that, though, about Will Smith.
Yeah, my mistake.
True. Yeah, those are some great stories. Well compiled. Yeah.
Thank you. So, I don't know who's going next.
I gotta poke around, see what's going on. I know in the near future, but not so near future, hopefully we can get a Dr. Best follow-up episode. Right. Fallon and I got some, not evidence, maybe evidence. I don't know.
Clear evidence.
I don't know what we got.
It'll convince anyone.
We heard some ghost knocking and some, I heard some humming, as did another woman.
Spooky.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And we had it all on recorder, so we'll see if it picked up anything. But my phone camera did not pick up the knocking.
Oh.
At least not that I heard. So it was really faint knocking. Too.
If you want to send it to me, I can analyze it. In Audacity.
True. I also know that Fallon's going to probably be listening to the audio clip, so maybe that will have some better results. But I also did talk on Saturday to a guy that's been doing this for 20 years, paranormal investigation.
Really?
And he's from Buffalo and said that he would appreciate being a host, or not a host, a guest on the podcast. Mm. So if we can maybe make that work somehow, that would be great. Because I'm sure he's got plenty of stories to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be fun because, you know, we've only, you know, really scratched the surface done some research, but I'd like to at least see some more transition of our podcast into some on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. So.
A lot to look forward to then.
There you have it.
Yeah.
I think, real quick for me, I think my next episode that you'll hear from me will be on the less spooky side. I think it's
round.
No, you have a topic in mind, or are you just saying that?
I think I'm going to do what I've wanted to do for a long time. I don't care how long it will be. I'm going to do my alchemy episode.
Oh.
I think it would be such a fun one.
Awesome.
So that might be a little dry compared to what I normally
do. That's okay.
But
welcome to
like
my
it.
World. I'm going to try to do a spooky one, my next one, because this has inspired me, Nick. The good spooky stories. I think that's good. I like it.
We're doing a little role reversals.
Yes. It's what we do here at Wednesday, 9 p.m.
Yep, we're switches.
And those of you that are listening in the comments, leave any suggestions that you'd like us to talk about. If there's a certain kind of phenomenon you want us to talk about that we haven't gotten to or haven't mentioned, you know, let us know, because we're just here to talk to each other, but you're here to listen to us talk, so we want to make it enjoyable for all
good
of
point.
Us.
Good point.
Does your grandma call you from beyond the veil? Let us know. Phone us in.
Phone us in.
As they say in Britain, we'll phone her.
Exactly. Well, that wraps up season 2, episode 3. I hope you all enjoyed, and please remember, we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, not Google Podcasts anymore, RIP.
Rest in peace.
Website, wednesdayat9pm.com. And I think that's, they hit all the...
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
It's all of our, where we're at. We have a Facebook page, check that out. But yeah, I hope you all enjoyed this, and please... don't let any black-eyed kids into your home. Good night.